There! Welcome, everybody!
Hey, Kiara, how are you doing? Hi, Sarah. Hi, Sven. Luke.
Good to see everybody.
Hi, Ode. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
So, I watched this morning, because it's early for me, I listened in my car on my way to my class and the way back. No, I didn't catch all of it.
It's impossible to catch all of it. I think there is a lot of information going around at any time. So,
and they have. I like messaging. Interested to see what you guys say.
Oh yeah, these are the. I think they are the capture. So it actually captures everything we say.
Yeah. Nice.
The advances of technology.
I basically was only able to to watch a few of the sessions, more around the time management and the payroll, to see if anything new and groundbreaking had started. But they only had the teaser for the next gen payroll, which was kind of disappointing. I was hoping that they'd show at least a little bit. I mean, we've been talking about this next gen payroll, next gen payroll since what? 3 years now, and it's like, okay, show us at least.
I think the message is it's hard to improve upon perfection.
Well,
I think they have occasions on other events for partners, right, where they have demoed the UK version of next gen payroll. So there's more than just fake screenshots behind it. But yeah, we'll see. And there's no date yet either.
But it would be nice just a little bit, just a taste of it, you know, mm-hmm. to kind of get us ready for the years to come.
Yeah, I think they are afraid of going.
You know that you should probably to the UK.
But I do know that you mentioned the UK has always been the plan. But this morning I actually heard that there was the UK and the US as a first two.
Those are both two pilot countries they're doing, US and UK.
US, that's...
That's a huge one, the US.
Better than France.
Or Germany.
Well, it covers a large... As soon as we start having the US customers getting on it, and I think you will actually have a decent follow-up, we'll actually have a lot of verification of how it compares to the current one.
Yes. I would suspect there's some multinational companies based in the US that they already have interest from. And that's one of the reasons they're developing it for the US. But what did you hear about time management, Sarah? Anything startling there?
No, they're starting to introduce a little bit more of what's happening with the time tracking. And I'm seeing a few things where we saw in the old on-premise, you know, we had a lot of issues over in Europe that shifts that start on Sunday night are actually a Monday shift.
Right.
And I said, can you assign it to the next day? And they said, nope. I said, okay, did we learn anything from the last solution?
Yeah, that's been a known issue. Why is that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that it was a very good case in point, looking and stating that the time management and the payroll are very tightly twinned.
You can't do one really with today without the other. There's so much attention on time management today.
Well, in some countries, you actually cannot legally touch payroll unless you have the... Italy is one of those. I suspect France and Germany are others, although I don't know them as intimately. Not at all.
Also, with the European Court of Justice ruling that everybody is supposed to be clocking in and out in Europe, and
they're
expecting a lot of laws coming through in the individual countries in the near future. We were expecting a lot more, but...
Well, I think that's one thing that's changed with the pandemic, because you have all these people working at home, and in some cases, they're wondering, how are you tracking their time? Are they really just working their shift? Or are they working beyond that? And will there eventually be, you know, lawsuits or something, complaints about that among the employees?
True.
I think it's an interesting case with the European court ruling, because it's 2 years now, isn't it? and most of the EU countries are still basically ignoring it or postponing it or discussing, I don't know, but so far.
Until
they get found.
We've seen the first court cases in Germany where the employees have taken the company to court and have won because of it, that they have to have the time tracking. So until then, and until the laws come through, and I know Germany's been trying to get new time laws through for probably the last 15, 20 years, they're all waiting for that. Because they're saying, well, what if we implement and then they change the law and then we have to change everything again, which is why a lot of them are hesitating. But at the same time, they're looking at it and say, you know what, especially with COVID, they're saying, okay, we really need to modernize because our solution is, first of all, too old, doesn't let the employee really integrate as much as they need to, you know, like shift swapping and stuff like that,
right.
The modern tools. And as you say, it's the basis for a lot of the payrolls. So,
well, and when you think of the COVID situation and the need of many companies to know who is where at a given time, we actually get on the topic of if you clock in and out, you know exactly who's in and you have proof and you may be able to act on it. If you don't know, if you don't have a clocking system and you have the core times that are open to everybody and you follow the shifts, you don't really know. So you cannot, you're stuck to take, having to take presence sheet and marking who's present, who's not, what kind of occupancy rate you have. And this has been lasting for now, what, 2 years almost?
Yeah, time management's very complex.
Yeah.
So I had a customer ask me the other day if it's possible to, clocks had a camera in them so it could take a picture of the person clocking in to make sure it really was the person clocking in.
I've heard about stuff like that, or just GPS tracking to see if they were really on site when they clocked in.
Geofencing, yeah, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah,
but yeah. But there's so a photo
Big
thing,
brother.
Still a lot of people who go over the law at the moment in Germany because it's so common, not necessarily the clocking in but clocking out, right? Oh, I have to work more than 10 hours today. I don't want to fill in this sheet. Can you just take my badge and clock me out when you leave? It's so common in a lot of companies in Germany. Otherwise, people really have to go downstairs, clock out, and go back again. Well, that's even right. More time wasting.
Yeah,
I think
anybody.
Go
ahead.
Sorry, I was about to slightly change topic, but it's still time management. So, did anybody see the? I don't know if it was an announcement, really, but there was talk of the. S4HANA timesheet solution, which is going to span S4, SuccessFactors, and Fieldglass in the, I believe in the keynote earlier today.
Yeah,
no, I new did not, tell me.
Place the CAT solution that's going to go across all of them. We don't have a timeline on that yet, but luckily, you know, the thing is it's going to do the WBS elements and all of those things that the timesheet in EC is missing.
Yeah, I had a brief session with SAP about it a few weeks ago, and I saw some bits and pieces about what they're planning. And yeah, absolutely, Sarah, you're right. It's going to be it's not a replacement for time tracking, but it's going to sit in S4. It's going to be used for entering time. It can do a lot of the complex stuff. But there's a certain amount of functionality that if it doesn't go into time tracking, it will go into this new solution, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
I can't actually say anything about actual details, I think. So,
it's possible.
But it's
in the
something
future,
that's.
Sorry, I mean, it'd be two different systems, so people would have to enter potentially time in two different places.
No, they just enter it in place.
It should be like the CATS application that you would be able to replicate that data into the time management that you need to then complete the time management.
Okay. I think it was one of the...
For other things as well.
Okay.
I think it was one of the excuses, of the reasons why the time tracking development came so late that they were looking for an overarching solution where data can, it's not just in SuccessFactors, but can flow into S4 and Fieldglass and you know what, which we've seen in various areas, that rather than developing something for one solution or a one-to-one integration, they go across the whole solution landscape and make sure to share data as much as possible. Which makes sense.
Yes, it does.
It's a daunting task.
For real. So what did you guys think about the big announcements? Opportunity, marketplace, dynamic teams?
You know, I think it actually goes quite well with the discussion we had with Stacy last week.
It does. I was like, oh my God, it's like, you know, we were psychic. We were talking about the same things.
Exactly. It's not about the great resignation or how many people are employed or how many are not employed. It's simply about, and Amy, I think Amy said something that was very right to me. I've reposted a few things on that. That's a cultural shift.
Yes.
You know, when we started having the cloud coming on, suddenly the data ownership came down to the manager and to the employee. And that was a lot of information and a lot of change management that companies needed to do. But now this will actually give the ownership of the career, which ideally had always been with the employee, but in many cases has not really been obvious. But with that, it can actually go really there. And that's a huge shift, a lot of education, not only for the ownership of the career, but also to the managers. You know, yes, I don't own you.
I think also there's a real lack of good people managers. And so to be able to put that in the hands of the individual, and a lot of their talk was about making it more individualized, right? To be able to put that in the hands of the individual is powerful.
And I think that the individuals have already been in charge of their careers for years, just not inside their own organization, right?
Right.
But if they are locked on LinkedIn, LinkedIn gives them growth opportunities, whether it's a sidekick, whether it's learning, whether it's a completely new role. So I think HR only has the choice to compete with it or be left with those who don't really want to learn anything. So I think it's a natural point. It's almost like an internal LinkedIn we are looking at. And if you don't offer it, then people spend most of their growth search outside the organization.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is what you're doing is empowering them to do it inside the organization instead of outside of the organization to hopefully retain those talents. Because with a LinkedIn, you see headhunters are going after our, you know, as fast as we can train up skilled employees, they're getting hired away.
Right.
Because the market's more visible on what job opportunities there are out there.
And, you know, having to have hired a couple of people in the past year, I can tell you what a drain it is on productivity. So you find the person, then onboard the person and get that person up to speed. I mean, you can easily lose a year's worth of productivity.
Yeah.
Between the manager and the person who's being onboarded, absolutely.
The center of capability is particularly interesting because, you know, having come from a background, having worked with a lot of customers building out succession planning solutions and whatnot, and you know, working with the technical solutions, particularly on premise in the past, you know, there was a strong focus on using qualifications, you know, which could cover competencies or skills and whatnot, and having those on positions so you can do a matching of candidates for successions, for recruiting, for all sorts. That's something I've really not seen in SuccessFactors to the same level of detailed functionality that we have or had in the on-premise solution. So I'm quite keen on the trajectory that this is going to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. But listen, I don't want to fill out ever again another skills profile. So I like this.
I think that's one reason why we
need to have it across all borders, because we also used it, you know, for shift planning, because you needed to know which qualifications you needed. Right. And so it just arched over everything, and you don't have that at the moment. Yeah.
And there's probably different purposes. Like, you don't have to use that same solution across all employees, but for certain jobs, like you're talking about, Sarah, there certainly should be that capability.
Yeah.
One of the things,
it's really rigid skills planning, where you have compliance, like in the pharmaceutical industry, making sure that people have the right certificates and these things. And this has always worked in the old solutions in some shape or form in SuccessFactors, but with these rigid processes, they can't keep up with how quickly the world is changing.
Right.
And there was always this HR world where you think in org charts and job descriptions, which take a year to change. And then there was the real world where work gets done, where creativity happens. And I think I hope that the philosophy behind Opportunity Marketplace and this is to like be more flexible and use AI and so on to get nearer to the real world, really, not live in a separate HR world.
Yeah.
One of the things that the lady from Zurich, and I missed her name, was that spoke with Jill. I really liked what she said. It kind of touched on the conversation we had with Stacy last week too. She said careers are a series of short stories now. And really that's what we're talking about. We talked about, like, unless you're a doctor and you go to medical school and then you always stay a doctor, careers, when you enter a corporation, business, whatever, they change so dramatically because of the technology and because the business world, the economy is constantly changing so rapidly. So, I mean, among us, we've all done a lot of different things in our careers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though we all stayed in the HR technology area, which seemed to be pretty big.
We love it. That's why. Yeah.
Different things radically. And even all of us in our own specific professional life, we've already done a number of different things. Luke has been a consultant, entrepreneur, and many other things. Sherry, case in point, Sarah, Sven, we all have done so many different things.
Yep.
And on one side, there are, to some extent, it goes with what Sven was saying. There are the hard skills, and we all have a very similar set of hard skills, I suspect. But all the soft skills that go with that are radically different, which allows us to actually fulfill and fit in different areas, whether it is at a customer looking at strategy and driving and communicating that piece, or it is communicating and influencing a whole range of people as you're doing now, Sherry, and so on. And that's where the difference really is. Because anybody can get a diploma of some kind,
Write
COBOL or ABAP.
I mean, I think Luke was a writer in his previous life, I'm not sure.
I actually worked in the music industry before I was in the SAP industry. So, there you go.
I studied languages and literature.
Very different things. So yeah, that's
but it
a very
was HR that always put was able to pay the school bills.
Totally get that.
Yeah, I guess we all have to develop in a way that to monetize some kind of skills. And when the skills we have cannot be monetized that easily, we fall back on something that.
Well, actually, the languages came in really handy because when you think of it. Programming a system or setting up a system is just taking your requirements, thinking those through, and then translating it into a way that the system understands it. So if you understand how to do languages, it works very well for any system that you're going to work with. So
totally agree. I mean, technology isn't what it used to be. I was a communications major, and same thing. You know, I saw technology as a way to further communication in different ways.
Yeah,
it is. So what did you do, Sven, before you landed in this beautiful HR tech area?
I always say I never learned any decent profession, so that's why I have to be a consultant. So,
well, you do it well.
During university, I had all kind of jobs. I gave horse riding lessons. I was writing for a local newspaper. I was working in construction. But then after university, it was I was a consultant all my life.
You see, lots of skill learned on the way that allows you to be what you are now.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, I guess, in my horse riding career, I learned more for the job than at university, especially project management, as I worked a lot as a volunteer for the regional organization. But yeah, here we go.
That makes sense.
There's one topic I think on from Success Connect we haven't touched yet, unless you still want to stick to the opportunity marketplace.
No, but no.
Topic is also work zone, right? I mean, it's
yes.
Not that new, but I think it's really just hitting the road. So if you, what are your thoughts about work zone?
It's getting a very good acceptance.
Yeah. Won some awards at HR Tech Conference, right, with HR Executive?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, so for me, from a customer point of view, who's always had been trying to bring the whole company together in one place and share information, when WorkZone first came out, that's what I saw it as, a way to really share HR information with the rest of the organization and finance information with HR and kind of bring it together. That might be a little bit of nirvana, but I think it has the possibility to get there.
I think it has, it gives, you know, if you look at the history of, sorry, I'm a history nerd. If you look at SAP and its development, it used to be all self-contained in a database.
Yes.
And the communication between the different pieces of the database, forget the fact that it was not very user-friendly, whether it was gray on gray, blue on blue, or green on black. And some of us still remember that. Yes. But the different pieces were communicating internally, and you could go from one area of, if you had the appropriate permission, you could go from one area of, you could go for RP to RV to RF, pardon the language. Seamlessly.
Right, but that was only if you knew the language. So what WorkZone does is dumb it down, like I like to say, for the average user.
Exactly. Yeah. WorkZone does the same across multiple system, because you're not anymore, because SAP has exploded, and also technology has exploded in multiple different pieces and multiple different technologies and supports, both from the technological point of view and from the user friendliness. And what WorkZone does is unify all that and bring it all in one place, in one accessible location. So I get it's a universal work list up to date with a user experience that makes sense and with an accessibility to much more. So, yeah, I'm not surprised it gets an acceptance. I'm surprised it doesn't get more of an acceptance, because it should be a starting block.
I think
Luke,
it's
do you
a
know
great.
Customers, are any customers asking for it, Luke or Sven?
A lot of them.
I'm not.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Luke.
I was just gonna say that I haven't really seen necessarily any customers asking for it, but I know the new customers, SAP, are recommending it, and it seems to be getting some interest from customers, but I've not really seen anything from existing customers at this stage.
But you know, and we always track this, you know, like at the HR Global User Group, to say, okay, when did something come out and when were the first adaptations of these, you know, solutions? And so it was like, okay, we found out that it's coming out. Okay, then they've got to say, we don't want to be the first ones because we don't like to be the guinea pigs. So then they wait till others get started. And then once it gets started and they see the value of it, they have to go through the process of getting the budget and all of that through. Right. So you're looking at, you know, typically like a 2-year window most of the time, especially with these global players before they start looking at them.
And I think part of it is the need has to be there. And maybe, you know, this remote working has driven the need for that more, to, for people to have things more at their fingertips in their own workplace and work time.
Yeah.
Without relying on somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just another case of you didn't know you needed it before you had it in your hands.
Right. Like television, right? That was around for a long time before it really, you know, hit the market big time. Now I need it.
Did you know you needed this?
What is this? I've never seen it.
The first ones were like little suitcases that you had to drag with you. And nobody wanted to drag the suitcase, so they waited. And it was too expensive. So again, you know, the other thing you also see is when these solutions come out, they don't get implemented straight away because who knows how to implement it?
Sure.
And so that's another factor. Well.
They could have been trained, but not really, you know it well. And I think it's probably a case where you also have to deeply understand your customer's business model across functionality to really use it well.
Yeah, and think of how many in HR struggle as soon as they start talking to finance. And, well, we know up to that border and about that much over it. And the opposite way around, finance is, well, we know up to there and about that much more of HR, but nobody really knows all of the details.
And HR generally doesn't want to share details, so.
More finance.
Right. Yeah, it's a tug of war.
So late, the what did you think?
Yeah.
But in terms of Workzone, I've had a lot of customers more asking about it rather than asking for it, right? There's interest. There are some customers who say, so basically what you are telling us that what we would have thought the homepage is going to do for us more and more in future, we now have to buy something new. So that's definitely one feedback, especially from like mid-sized organizations.
Great.
But then others, they see the added value, but it's not an easy thing to deploy like an extra SuccessFactors module, right? It's a lot of BTP you have to have behind it to really use it. And now there's a new bit of confusion, at least for me. I'm not sure how does Workzone now relate to SAP Mobile Start. Have you looked into that yet?
No, I haven't.
Luke, have you seen anything on that? I have not.
No, I've seen the headline and that's about it. So,
yeah.
On my homework list.
Yeah.
I saw quite. So go
ahead. Go ahead, Luke.
So, I saw some quite interesting comments this morning on Twitter about Workzone. Mostly from Chris Payne. A couple of things he said that I thought were quite interesting was like there's quite a large overlap between SuccessFactors onboarding and what Workzone can provide. And kind of, you know, which one would you leverage for what? Or could you actually leverage Workzone to do your onboarding instead of the onboarding solution? Of course, you know, there's a couple of things missing from that, you know, like the I-9 integration in the US, a state federal tax or country level tax forms and all that kind of stuff. But that was an interesting comment, and he did post a screenshot as well.
That is interesting. I have to look for that.
Yeah, I thought that was particularly interesting. And then one thing you also mentioned, and I've been looking to see if this gets resolved, I guess, for lack of a better term, in the keynote for the Americas event that's coming up, is, you know, Chris basically said to read it. I'm not entirely sure I got from the Success Connect keynote the reason why a customer would pick up on Workzone or why it won the HR Tech Award, other than that it's very flexible. I'm not sure that's a compelling reason.
It
certainly seems people are excited about it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm kind of. I think they're fair comments. I'd like to know a bit more. And there was some chat on Twitter about that with Chris and somebody from SAP. It's quite worth I think anybody out there to go and read that thread, and actually check out Chris's tweets, because he's about the only person I saw who was actually live tweeting about the event.
Okay, great.
Today.
Yeah.
His Twitter handling is Wombling, WOMBLING, right. For anybody that isn't already following him.
But you can find it even if you just search Chris Payne.
Yeah. That too, yes. Lady.
Yeah, the other thing
amazing.
I was thinking is, you know, kind of like the payroll control center, you know, when we saw that came out, that was probably about, what, 5 or 6 years ago, and not until ECP came out did we start really seeing the adoption of it, because a lot of the companies, because they had the need, would get third-party tools or build things of their own, and
right.
I've seen a lot of them using ServiceNow to fill a lot of these gaps.
Well, also, I think that has to, does it have something to do with the cloud, Sarah? Because I think a lot of customers weren't on the right version on-premise to use it.
Well, I think they had other tools because they had those needs for compliance for so many years.
We did, yes.
That they built those themselves, or they used third-party tools to do that compliance. And they're saying, well, you know, here to do it in another, you know, with payroll control center, where we'd have to build the rules again, why the other is not working. And so it's only when they go into ECP do they consume it, because then they do it as part of their payroll rollout instead of trying to connect their old tools
right.
to the system.
Right. So the investment to add on to on-premise isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Well, I found it funny that some people even still seem to think that PCC is part of ECP, and they're not even aware that you can use it in purely on-premise. And especially if you're on a core hybrid setup, I think it's got exactly the same value of saying, okay, most of your HR and payroll people can work completely inside the SuccessFactors UI and from there go through PCC and so on. So I think the value is the same. Or maybe I'm overlooking a small detail, but I don't see there's any big difference between using PPC in core, PCC in core hybrid versus in an ECP.
Yeah.
Context.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I think people just don't want to do the work of rewriting their audit reports that they've written.
Yep.
Rewriting coding.
Because we did. We pushed this, we announced it, we showed it, you know, and stuff like that. But like we were saying is, like Sherry, you said, they've done those audit reports themselves or built it all themselves over the years. And they said, well, we're not changing now.
And you have a limited amount of money to do something with. There's higher priorities.
Yeah. Or simply they prefer to see what, you know, anyway, we'll do a jump in a year or two or whatever. And in the meanwhile, it doesn't make any sense to invest in something we're going to retire shortly. We might as well just wait and have a little bit of patience.
Quick question from my side. Was anything mentioned about, you know, the S4HANA, HCM for S4HANA, because that's supposed to be coming up 2022 with migration tools. And I haven't seen anything about that.
There was a mention in there was a session on Payroll Vision, and he was mentioning that piece. But I didn't hear any reference to specific what tools, what not tools, or what could be leveraged to use it. Then again, it's not supposed to be very different. The only thing you could potentially do is essentially simplify for the pleasure of the simplification.
Yeah. But again, if you're going to tell them you're going, if you don't have a way or a tool to migrate that stuff and all that you're customizing, it's a new implementation. And getting a business case to move it over is going to be the exact same as the ones that are on premise and saying, I'm not moving to the cloud because I don't have a business case.
Right.
Yeah. And then some.
Yeah, so a lot of them are saying, well, okay, well, we don't want to go to the cloud, but HCM for S4HANA would be a solution to kind of extend the life after 2027, but we're waiting to see what's going to happen with these migration tools that SAP keeps promising, but we haven't seen any details on that.
No, I haven't seen anything on all that. To be totally transparent, I don't really focus on that part of the solution.
Yeah.
Because I don't like it.
Well, I think it's a limited audience too. I think they believe it's a limited audience.
It's more than that, in fact, and I'm just joking here. In fact, because I simply have been in on the global side, global payroll is always essentially a puzzle of different pieces rather than being something altogether. So I never really address that part. Payroll and time management are always part that are handled by a much more local crowd than a global crowd.
Not always.
You always need some pieces that are global across.
Yeah, but even Nestle, for example, you know, they had their global team taken care of it because it was all in a system, and they're going to say, well, we don't want to migrate country by country. How do we move that across now?
Right.
No, my lady. Even Nestle had at least two separate tracks because they couldn't be at the time put together in the same track. And the two separate track was already a consolidation of previous additional multiple track, and they were supported by a number of local globe environments. So yes and no, there are some pieces that were always aligned globally, but then much of it, for many companies, even people like the Nestle of the world, it was a tremendous piece of work to align further to make it truly global.
Yeah. And now they're not going to want to go country by country to migrate to an S/4HANA.
Yeah.
I think what I would tell customers at the moment regarding H4, S4 is, A, if you've already started to do something on your ERP, you can be sure that it will be a much, much easier job because it's the same system. It's basically just the technical switch of the database, right? So plan for this, but unless there's some compelling reasons, I wouldn't even worry about it now. Just wait until Q4 next year, it's here, and then look at it and then plan, because why would you be the first one to do it for no change in functionality?
No.
But there will be some where there are reasons to try to be quick, and then they might want to know about the migration tools earlier.
To clarify for our listeners who aren't as savvy as you guys, what we're talking about is a business, let me see if I got this right, a business that is moving their ERP on premise to S/4HANA. Yeah. And now they're like, okay, now I've got this HR system sitting on premise with SAP. What do I do with it?
Right.
And this is the piece that allows you to take your existing on-premise HR and hook it temporarily for a limited amount of years to the S4 system, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Having coexisting within the same H4HANA platform.
Yeah. Right.
Actually, because the HCM for S/4HANA is not limited, right? It's got the same maintenance schedule. But that's the same for S/4 in theory. So if S/4 gets extended, that will be extended too. That's the idea.
Yeah, that's true.
They've extended on-premise now again?
No. But
Once
you move to HCM for S/4HANA, you are on the maintenance schedule of S/4HANA.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And that's 2040 at the moment. Yeah.
Considered another
edition. Most likely, but then again, even 2040 gives a decent horizon to see and to decide what you will do after.
Yeah.
Even if you count a few years before because you need the time to figure out what to do and what not to do and so on, to 2040, well, you have time till 35 anyway to think about and then to start taking decisions and action. So there is time
more
to see.
There's time for that, but the more imperative date is 2027 yet, right? Is that right? So if you're on ERP on-premise, you've got to do something with that whole platform.
Yeah.
And that's the
you'll need to take some
decisions. What I'm worried about at the moment is saying, where do I go? Do I go to ECP? Do I go to S/4HANA? What are these migration tools? do, you know, right. What's the strategy? And because they're saying, you know, it took us 10 years to get this over and consolidated. Yes, it's going to be easier, but it took them a lot of years. And if you look at it, we're 2020, almost 2022 now. So that's going to leave them 5 years. They've got to get the budget. They've got to have the team. They've got to know how to do it.
But you know, the true answer is, unfortunately, it's a classical consulting answer. It depends.
It does depend. I see some advantages to moving your HR platform first if you can get the funding for it, because I think SuccessFactors really has that model down of migrating from where you are in your existing on-premise to another platform. I think, you know, HR knows what they're doing. And also then you have this great foundation, because once you move to S/4HANA and have all these other neat capabilities, your HR system is going to look really archaic. You're still on premise.
Yeah. But unfortunately, some of the larger companies, they've done so many, quote, modifications to their solution that they can't go to the ECP.
Not easily.
Yeah, and we've discussed it with a few and say, well, let's try and see if we could simplify that, reverse engineer some of this. And they're saying, no, we can't, because this has been negotiated with Works Council and we can't take it
right out.
We can't put it in the solution. And that's where they're saying, okay. Or, you know, a lot of the public sectors are also saying, we're not going to be able to move to a cloud solution quite as easy. And so they're trying to look at the S/4HANA's solutions and trying to figure out what to do in the near future.
I think that,
and they again also have very complex systems.
Mm-hmm. I think that's certainly an easier, just less friction for HR doing it that way.
Yeah. I know the Bundeswehr is definitely not going to go to a cloud, which is the German army, and they modified that out of the system. So we're going to be in a one.
I think they are not allowed to use any systems that actually work anyway, right?
At least. I completely agree with you there.
Sorry?
My husband is an officer in the German.
You always hear about tanks and rifles and anything that's not working. So I'm always waiting for them to win the Peace Nobel Prize. But,
Very interesting point of view. Okay, my friend, I think at some point we'll have to wrap up.
I think we do. We could go on forever, this group.
Yeah, I know. But I think it would be nice for all of us to have the time for a glass of water before getting on to the next U.S. version of the whole thing.
Thanks, everybody.
It was lovely talking to all of you.
See you all.
Thank you guys for organizing.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Sarah. And we'll talk later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Take care.
Good day. Bye.